Great idea. And one of my great ideas, remember I told you I had plans last week? You remember that? So one of my great plans that I have was this idea that, hey, I've always wanted to learn to play guitar. And so I was going to learn to play guitar. How many of you think that happened? It didn't. Okay? Because like I said last week, my plans didn't always go as my plans were to go. And so I ended up, you know, just sitting there wishing I could still play. And I had this, like, I knew the only song that I wanted to learn to play was, want to guess? This one. And you want to know how easy this one is? Nick, how easy is this one?
I can play it, so it's easy.
Okay, there we go. He's really good, so don't listen to him. But anyways, I think, if I'm not wrong, there's like three chords, right? And it's like the same chord pretty much the whole time, just strummed at a certain time harder. Am I right? Okay, good.
Dynamics,
there we go. See, I'm not really into music as much, you know? Like, I could ask Chris, I can ask Nick, I can ask Alicia, I can ask some of these other people that know music better than I do. But I do know this thing, okay? Music has, like, a set of rules to it, right? Things have to be played in a certain way in order to be, like, good, right? So if I were just to get over here and I would just start, you know, pulling this thing out, and I would just start, you know, like, that's what I know, okay? How many would love to hear me play a concert or, okay, my son and my wife, okay, perfect, okay? But, you know, like, I do know, like, a hint, that's a what? Chord. Some of you are like, that's a chord, that's G. I don't know if it's G or not. Is it G? I have no idea. Okay, you know, and then I even know, like, another one, and I know at least one more. But those are like the only three chords I know. So I don't even, and I can't even play them to make them make sense, okay? But like I could pull somebody else who's really good at it, and they could actually take those three chords and they can make something incredibly beautiful out of it, right? But if I were just to sit back here and I were just to go like this, sooner or later, we're just going to drive each other nuts, right? And you'll be like, okay, I'm going to start walking out. I have to use the bathroom, okay? And we're going to head out. And the reason is because that instrument was never meant to be played that way. Am I right in that? Amen, you can go home. Okay? No. We got it right. But think about this in the context of life. So many times we play the instrument that God's given us, and a lot of times it sounds like this. And we wonder why it doesn't make sense. Right? We get on the instrument of life and we start playing and plunking out these few chords and we're hoping, just hoping, that something will sound right and it'll make sense, you know? Like I said, like I can kind of make something make sense by just going, let me make sure my finger. And my wife knows what that is because we sat one time when I was trying to get her to like me type thing and like this lady was going, hey, you guys want to learn piano? And I'm like, Katie's like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, you know? So scoot over there, and I only know those three chords, but like I know if I played that the right way, it would be Lord, I lift your name on high, right? And some of you are like, oh, that would be a good one. Jesus would come in amazing ways, right? But like my wife is a little bit better at it, you know? So if I pulled Katie, why don't you come up and show me your expertise? Come on. I don't know. Where's your husband? Okay. Like, my wife listened, okay? So this is the difference. There's people in life that take what they've learned and they listen and they begin to put it together in an order that makes sense, right? So she can do a little bit better than me, right? See, like, I got one hand and I just plunk, 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 okay? So it makes no sense, okay? There we go. So we have this brilliant idea, okay? When Zeke was about a year old, or not a year old, 3 or 4 years old. They start them in these kinder music programs, right? And so they're trying to teach you to play by ear. And so we were like, you know what? We'll get Zeke in this. Yeah, Zeke doesn't like sitting down for very long, okay? But he learned some things. And, you know, he kind of just picked it up. And he knows, like, his, you want to play your one song, you know? Okay, go ahead. So, like, he learned a little bit about music, you know? And so he can kind of plunk some things out. Go ahead. So, but here's the thing. He did it all with one hand, right? And what you don't know is the backstory of this, okay, is the fact that it was like a war, right? Now, Dad, who doesn't listen, or who doesn't listen when he's getting taught, right? And then they give us this music, and we have to kind of like hear it and then like play it. And I'm terrible at this because I have the like I'm distracted at the littlest thing, you know. So my wife literally is like learning how to play piano the same time my son is learning how to play piano. And so she would get frustrated enough that she's like, "You will learn this. We paid money," you know. And so she would sit there and play it out. And sooner or later, it began to make sense, right? Zeke began to understand that he could do that, just like Katie listening to the lady that taught us one song with three chords and all that stuff. And, you know, she made sense. But to me, right, like, it makes no sense. Like, and then I can maybe get, like I said, just these few chords, and yeah, there we go, you know? But how many times in life do we do the same thing? Like, we like the noise, but yet when it really comes to it, we really don't like the noise. Because it's just chaos, and maybe more things added to your schedule, and so something that was meant to be incredibly beautifully played all of a sudden becomes all jumbled up and just doesn't make any sense. Why? Because we just keep adding stuff to it. And so at some point, we've got to sit down, and we've got to sit down with the one who knows how to play this thing and knows how to orchestrate our lives and allow him to continue to write something that's incredibly beautiful. You see, the story that we've been going through the last few months, or last month, is the story of the prodigal son. And if you remember the story goes that the son came to his father and said, "I want my inheritance," right? And so he takes the inheritance. His father goes and shames himself basically by doing this, but takes and divides up his life, basically. And so part of that day, part of that culture was everything was invested together. And so they would come in, and then he would have to go to this group of people that probably had all their money and all that stuff invested and go, "Hey, I need to take out this portion of it." And literally probably face ridicule and shame because now all of a sudden there's his son who should be happy to be a part of his family, who should be enjoying the company of his father, is going, "I want my part now, and I want to just go and do this." And so the father graciously goes and gives him a portion of his life. And what's interesting about this story is this. There's a couple of different words for the word life in the New Testament. The first one is bios. Okay? How many want to guess what word we get from the word bios? A word, a class in school that I absolutely did not enjoy. Okay? Biology. And all the kids said, "Boo." Okay? Like, but we get that, that's where we get from it. But it literally means like our chronological life. Like, this is life, this is where it's at, right? And so when we see that word life used in this story, we see it used in a couple different ways. The first part, when the father goes and says, "I want my inheritance," when he goes in, or the son asks his father for the inheritance, there's another word in there that makes up that same word, bios. So literally what he's saying is, I need what my life is made up of, and now I got to divide my life in three different parts. Remember, because he had an older son, right? And then he had the son, the younger son, and then he had his part. And so he had to divide his life up. But what's interesting about this word is there's also another word that has a lot more context and it gives a lot more, a bigger picture to all of life. And it's this word, Zoe. Okay? How many of you have ever heard that word? You're like, "I have a niece named that," right? Because we kind of do that. But this word also means life. But it means more life. It means eternal life. It means that there's something more than just as what is present in this, like, day-in, day-out routine. Have you ever had a moment in time where you were just completely, fully alive? You know? It might be the day that you went to ask that person to marry you, and she said yes without hesitation, and you're like, "Yes!" And you felt, like, so alive, okay? Or maybe for some of you is the day when they hired Jim Harbaugh as the quarterback, or the quarterback, as the coach as Michigan, right? Some of you are like, "Best day ever, you know, Jesus can return now, my life's complete," okay? Some people even call them the Messiah, right, which is kind of weird. So anyways, but we have these moments in our life, you know, for me is like even the birth of our kids. Like it's a moment where you feel like all of life is right in that moment. And then you begin to go, oh, wow, life outside of this little moment is getting really scary, right? What are we thinking, bringing a precious being into this chaotic world, correct? And we're reminded of that again this week, how crazy life can be, how crazy some people can be, right? And so life is very real, right where we're at. And sometimes, some of us even get to a point where we want to get back to that place so badly, and when we can't get back there, we do everything and we can in our own power to try to get life or try to feel alive again. I mean, you know it. It might be a father who drinks too much. And the reason why he drinks too much is because he's just dead, so he's trying to get that extra burst. Or maybe it's, you know, a sibling or a loved one who's addicted to that drug of choice. It's because their current reality, their bios, is not everything that they wanted it to be, but they have these moments that give them this, like, adrenaline, that gives them this thing of feeling fully alive, and they want to get back to that place. But the thing is like, as long as they continue to live in this bios thing, there's never going to be a context to those situations in their life. So there's got to be this Zoe life. Jesus said this. This is one of probably the most popular verses that we've used around here in the time that I've been here. But in John 10, he says this: a thief comes to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and life to the fullest. Okay. Now, can we take just a moment and can we like break this down for a second? A lot of times when we look at life to the fullest, we kind of look at it and go, God wants me to have a new car. And he wants me to have a big house. And he wants me to have all the wealthy riches in the world. And you know what? I can't say it. Maybe he does. But that in that context, that's not really what he's talking about. Because God does love you and he loves to give gifts to his children. And, you know, that's between you and God. I don't know. But the thing I do know is this, is that's not the life that he's talking about. But here's the thing I know about life, is everything around us tells us that we need more of it. In order to get more of it, you have to buy this car at Christmas and it'll be outside waiting for you and you'll be happy like kids on Christmas Day, right? So you need a new car. And so it entices you, oh, I want that so bad. Or maybe it's, we got the meats, right? And so now all of a sudden you're like, I want Arby's. I need more Arby's, you know? So marketers are amazing at that because they play on your need for what? More. So whether it's more food or more clothes or more cars or bigger houses, or they play on that. But the thing was, is Jesus was never talking about more of that stuff in this bios life. He's talking about more, meaning more life, more longer life, eternal life. And so when this son finally gets to a place where he's in with the pigs, right? It says that he awakens to the fact that his servants are treated better than this in his father's house. And so he says, you know what, I'll go back to my father and I'll at least just ask to be a servant, you know? And as we saw last week, that didn't even happen because the father didn't even pay any attention to him, because as soon as the father saw him, he come running and he embraced him. And then he looks at one of his servants and says, go get the robe, go get the ring, and go get the sandals. Because he's mine. He'll never go without again. He'll always be taken care of. The ring, he's got an identity again as part of our family. The sandals meaning he's not a slave, he's a son. And so the son comes back, and then the father tells the servants again, go get the heifer, okay, or the cow, kill it, and let's party, right? He celebrates. And why does he celebrate? He says, because my son who was once, what? Lost, is now found. So there's a few different things I want to point out to you about living a full life, right? First thing is this, we celebrate the lost and found. Celebrate the lost and found. There's two other stories that precede this one story. One's the person who lost the precious coin, right? There's the other one where he lost the sheep. And the whole story is to show like something of great value has been lost. And so there's this intense search to go do it. And then when they come back, it's like the coin that was lost is now found. The sheep that is now back in the sheepfold, right? He says, we celebrate those things. And so when the father of the son comes back, he says, now we celebrate the greatest thing. My son who is gone, who has literally left everything, who literally turned his back on our whole family, he has left, but he's come back, and the father has opened up his arms again to accept him and embrace him. And so he says, the picture is celebrate, celebrate, celebrate. Because something that had great value has now been found. I propose this. Most incredible thing to celebrate in this room is lives that were once lost and now they're found. Ones that were living a life that literally felt like they were going from one thing to another thing to another thing, trying to find the fullness of life, and literally have turned and came back to God and said, God, I want to follow you with everything I have, and they're finding new life. The Bible says it this way, the old is gone and the what has come? The new. And so we get to celebrate that. And one of the things Gail had been talking about over this month is, if you have never been baptized, water baptized, this is a perfect picture of what it looks like to celebrate lost and found. And so if that's you, within the next couple of weeks, we want to do a water baptism. And I know there's some of you in this room we've talked about this with, and maybe this is the time. You know, because the Bible says very clearly, and what we see in Acts is that as minute they gave their life to Christ, it was like they wanted to get baptized. It was the thing that they did. Because what it says is, this is proof to everyone in this room that I am different. And that my life is being, my life is dedicated and given over to somebody else. I'm giving my life to Christ, and this is my declaration of faith to prove it. And the second thing we see as we sell, or as we look at life and what it looks like to, is we do it together. Like, I think that's one of the biggest themes throughout Scripture. It's how life is done together. I think so many times we as individuals are told that, you know what, you can't trust somebody. And so there's quite a few of us in this room that don't even trust the person sitting next to us that we're married to. And God has put that together. And that union was a picture of the union that he has with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? So from the very beginning, God is community. God is together. And that's a whole other topic that we're not going to go into today. But he established community. He established this trinity. He established this togetherness that they would begin to do things with. And even in the very beginning, God looks at what he created, being Adam, and said, it's not good that man is what? Alone. So he created a helper for him. The Bible tells us from the dust of the ground, he created Eve, right? See, we were meant to do life together. Jesus understood this. Jesus didn't walk this earth alone. He understood how valuable relationships were. And if you look through the scriptures, you see he had his 12, but he had his 3 that were really close to him, right? He understood the value of relationship. And here's the thing I want to say. Any person in this room that's trying to do this thing alone, you're going to fail over and over and over again. Scriptures, throughout the scriptures you read of how they opened up the word and they began to read the word of God together and the word came alive. Why? Because it was being read together. It was being interpreted together. So that I can't just sit there and go, hey, this is what I think it is, and so I'm just going to go do that. It began to be, it was challenged by each other, right? So you can begin to interpret it. You can begin to discuss it. You can begin to look at it and see what is this teaching us? What is this showing us? So that one person doesn't just go off in left field and go, hey, now we've got this and this is right. And all along, it's not right according to Scripture. You see, we need that accountability. We need that those people in our lives that are willing to say the hard things that we need to be said. But here's the beauty of it. When life's being done together and it's being done together right, it brings an incredible amount of life. Life to everything you do. And the last thing is this. When we live life the way it's supposed to be lived, we join God's plan. We join his plan and we join his story. A couple weeks ago, I went to a conference. And it was probably one of the best conferences that I've been to in a long time. But it was by a guy that puts it on. His name is Donald Miller. He's wrote a bunch of books, and some of you have read them. But the whole conference was set up with this understanding of God's writing a story, right? And it's an incredibly big story, and we're a part of it. So what's our part of this story? And so he began to go through how every good story is formed, and he talked about how any good movie, right, follows these seven things. And one of the things that he began to, you know, hit on very hard in that short time that we had, did a lot of sitting in those days, he began to say some things that really stuck. And he said something that stuck in me that I want you to understand. And this whole storyline conference was actually based off, some of you might know this guy's name. His name is Viktor Frankl. He was a slave in the concentration camps at Auschwitz, right? And he was determined that he was going to get out of there alive. And the only thing that kept him alive was he literally took every night or every time he had a chance, he would literally write on the bed above him or carve out on the bed above him different things that he wanted to teach people about suffering and how suffering is good. And so he began to write these things. And one of the things that he wrote on that bed that day was the biggest thing that every man is looking for, or every woman is looking for, every person is looking for in life is meaning. For their life to have some sense of meaning and purpose. But at the same time, there was another guy, and I believe it was Sigmund Freud, but he said this. He said that he believed that every person was created for pleasure. Right? And so you have these two very different things, meaning and purpose and pleasure. Frankl, later on in his life, rewrote his statement to say this: when people cannot find meaning and purpose in life, they compromise with pleasure. Now think about that. How many times do we do that? When we can't find meaning and purpose, when it feels like our life has no value, do we then go to the pleasures of this world to try to numb the pain or to try to give us that experience to feel alive again? One of the things I believe is if Jesus said something, we're to believe it. And the thing he said is, I've come to give you life. Zoe life. A life that will be incredibly purposeful and meaningful here on this earth, but also it has a reach that you can't even begin to comprehend. There's an eternity to it. There's no end. And so let me bring you back to what we talked about at the very beginning. I can sit here, and I can sit and just clunk on this, and it's noise. But let me say this. All music is noise with rules. So, Rob, would you come up and help me for a minute? Yeah, you. So, he didn't know I was going to do this. So, Rob's probably one of the best piano players I know. So, hey, buddy.
Good to see you.
But the difference between me and Katie and Zeke, and us and Rob is drastically different. So, Rob could play something very simple. Just play something simple. That's not simple. See, it's hard because he knows how to play it. But see now, like, because he's trained, because he's practiced, because he understands this instrument, right? And for him, this instrument's just an extension of these things that God created, right? Rob one time looked at me and said, I feel more alive when I'm sitting on a bench with ivory in front of me. And here's why. Go ahead and play something. So, there we go. Okay, so, now think about this for a minute. Everybody in this room perked up. You didn't do that when I was playing. Right? I watched faces, and faces were like, I might be able to do something, but as soon as he played, all of a sudden there was the hoots and the hollers and the, whoa, okay, that's what it's supposed to sound like, right? But how often do people look at our lives and do the same thing when CJ starts playing, and they look at you and go, I don't think you're supposed to be playing that song. But then when someone comes along who's playing the instrument right, all of a sudden there's life. And so what I can do with three chords, and I don't even know what chords these are, Rob can tell me, okay? C. F, B flat, and C. Rob can take those three chords and do something incredibly amazing with them that I could never do. Why? Because he understands the instrument. I got a little glimpse of it, but he studied it. So when God takes our lives and he begins to take the simple things and he begins to teach us just three things, he's teaching us three things to build in us a foundation. Because Rob, you didn't start there, right? You didn't start where you ended right there. Mm-mm. I mean, we talked about a month ago, and he's been learning like this solo. And this, that one solo that you learned took you how long to master? 45 days. You want to play it?
Can I do the background sermon thing? Or would you do that?
Sure. Sure. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Okay. As long as you can, as long as I get the amen out of the crowd, you know, so we're good. But here's the thing. That's the life we want to live. We don't want to live the life that CJ was playing. We want to live the way that Rob's playing right now. One that sounds incredibly beautiful. One that has purpose. One that has meaning. And here's the thing about it. Every note that he's playing by itself is just noise. But because there's a rule, because there's rules that have been set in place for music, now all of a sudden those things come together and they make something incredibly beautiful. But they all started as noise. So my question to you is this. What will you do with the life you've been given? Will you continue just to sit there and plunk it? And maybe learn a couple different chords and go, you know what, that's enough. I can just get through now. I know at least F, B flat, and C, right? And so I can get through life playing F, B flat, and C. And I can think that that's a full life. But then all of a sudden a friend comes by and he's playing all kinds of different things and it sounds way better. And in that moment, we begin to realize something. We begin to realize that there's a whole lot more to life if we don't just stop where we're at. And I think so many times we stop. And I think there's so many people in this room that we've just stopped. Whether it's because of someone in our life that said something, you know? Like, literally, you guys, I could have been playing that, and you guys could have been, you're horrible, get off the stage, you know? Like, and I'd walk out crying and never want to play again, right? Or you can encourage somebody, and they continue to keep going, and what comes from their life is something incredibly beautiful, because everybody starts somewhere. So, my question is, where does it leave you today? Because you're meant to live life and live it to the fullest. Not just plunk through life and hope that it makes some sense. Today, the worship team's going to come and they're going to start playing. And now they're like, I don't want to play. Rob's in the room. We're good. But here's the thing. My hope and my prayer for every person in this room. Let me give Rob a hand. Thanks, bro. The thing is this. At some point, we've got to get to a place where we're willing to live as one who knows that we're actually really good at this. This guy over here pretends like he's not good at playing guitar and singing, but we all know the truth, right? But at some point, we've got to step out and go, yep, that's what I am, and I'm confident in this. So I told you a couple things I learned in my sabbatical was one, that God loves me and loves me incredibly. And that he takes great delight in who I am. But one of the other things that he's really done in me is to show me that you can be confident in who I've created you to be. And there have been many instances where I've allowed the hecklers or someone to say something and it just kind of knocked me off my game, right? But I want to say this to you, because this is something God said to me. Stand up and be bold. Because if it wasn't for the boldness of the early church, we wouldn't be where we're at today. And you know how they got to that point? Because they allowed the Spirit, and they waited for the Spirit. And when the Spirit came, the Bible says that it came with such great power that it gave them such boldness that they began to stand up and they went out and began to proclaim God's word. And here's the funny part about it. If you read the scriptures, it says that they went out and they began to speak in languages that they didn't even know and reach the people in their native language. Now that takes some boldness, right? But that's what we see. When life is being played right, when we're doing things the way we're supposed to be doing them, God can take even the most broken pieces of our lives and he can put them all together and he can create something incredibly beautiful out of it. So today, here's what I want to ask. Where are you at in life? Where are you at? Are you plunking it out? Do you know three chords? Are you semi-professional? Or are you professional? I don't know where you're at. I would beg to differ. I would choose to say that probably most of us are in that like beginner stage, maybe intermediate. And here's the thing. I hope we always are continuing to learn. I hope we never become a professional at this thing. Because I don't think anybody is. And here's the reason why. Because I think there's always something that God wants to teach us if we're willing to listen and we're willing to learn. So where's your life at? Because today God's inviting you to awaken to a new life. A life full of purpose, a life full of meaning. That he can take whatever place you're in right now, whatever situation, whatever desk seat you find yourself in, whatever factory line you find yourself standing next to, wherever you might find yourself, God can use your story and he can put meaning to purpose to it that you never thought was possible. Today you have a story and that story is meant to be told. And here's the thing about story. Story has to be changing all the time. Because if the story stays the same, the movie gets a little what? Boring. Right? And so what needs to change now? Because all of us are at some point, but where's the next place God wants to take us? Would you close your head, or close your head? Close your eyes and bow your head this morning. I want you just to take a moment. I want you to visualize something for me for a minute. Imagine you're the sun, and you're standing in the pit, in the mud, with the pigs. And you're like, that smells terrible, right? And you finally awaken to the fact that you're not in the place where you're supposed to be. And as you're walking back to that place of just not knowing what's going to happen, the lies start going through your head that you're not good enough, that your father's going to just reject you, that he's not even going to allow you to be a slave in this family. But as you come up over the horizon, all of a sudden the father catches you. And you see this man hurrying, trying to get through all the village, and you see him running towards you. And as he gets closer, you begin to see that he is your father. And he's running with such abandon, and he's been waiting for this day to come and embrace you again. And when he gets to you, he doesn't scold you. He opens his arms, and he grabs a hold of you, and he embraces you with the biggest hug that you've ever given. And you know like you once knew, that this is home. This is the place that you were always supposed to be. And it's the place that's always welcoming you back. That's the place that God meets you. Because you and I are just like that prodigal. And God's awakening something in each and every one of us that is good. Today, you get a whole new start. Doesn't matter where you're at. You get a whole new start. you begin to take all the noise and all the clutter and you begin to bring purpose to it. And some of that stuff you're going to have to filter through, because in order to live a life of meaning and purpose, you're going to have to get rid of a few things. And so you begin to get rid of some different things that are clogging up your life, clogging up your schedule, so that you can begin to live the life that God has created and called you to live. Your life has meaning and purpose. So Father, today, God, would you show us through our own life, God, where things have gotten messed up. Would you show us the things that need to go so that we can live a life that's full of intention and full of meaning. And today, God, would you help us to come awake. Come awake to your love. Come awake to life. Today, God, may the only voice we hear be your voice. May all the competing voices that we hear in our head saying you can't do this or you've tried this before, may they be pushed aside, because in your name, God, we ask that everything will flee in Jesus' name so we can hear you clearly. Today, God, would you speak to us? Would you do a deep work in us? May it change us forever. In Jesus' name. Would you remain seated just for a minute? And I want you to just listen to this song. At any point you want to stand up, you can stand up. You want to sing, the words will be up on the screen. I think it really paints.